Hello, welcome to episode 118 of the Viva Albertos podcast. My name is John Fleming. I'm a writer and editor at Viva Albertos. I am joined, as always, by fellow writer and editor at Viva Albertos, Heather Simon. Heather, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm currently petting your dog, which is always a treat. Olcane here had a very good weekend. He beat a one seed in the NCAA tournament. Go Retrievers.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, he's pretty excited. I actually went to watch the Mizzou game, and I left the Retriever game on for him because I thought he would want to see it. So,
well, it was a pretty good moment for Retrievers, and you know, maybe in 9 years or so, when he has graduated high school, he'll be able to go on to University of Maryland, Baltimore County, and contribute to another Cinderella story, as they say. We gotta recognize our co-hosts whenever we get a chance, but
he actually does kind of look like the mascot that's like on their uniform. I mean, he is a retriever, but
yeah, I mean, as I mentioned before, Kane basically looks like the dog that they put on like a box of treats or a box of dog food.
I did find a bag of dog food with like a yellow lab on it, and I was like, oh my gosh, this looks just like Kane. He said he was doing modeling in his spare time.
Yeah, like he looks like just the exact like ideal. Like if you were to picture a retriever in your head, you would picture the UMBC mascot or Kane, but or the VEB mascot, I guess you could say. Yeah. But I'm not going to spend the entire episode talking about dogs, although that might not be a bad idea.
Yeah.
I think I would enjoy that more than talking about baseball. But we are a baseball podcast, so I think we're under some obligation to talk about baseball, particularly the St. Louis Cardinals. They are a baseball team located out of St. Louis, Missouri, and they have opening day in 10 days.
I didn't realize it was that soon.
It is sort of creeping up, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it is at the end of March, when the first game is.
Yeah, it's coming a little bit earlier than in previous seasons because they're having more off days spread out throughout the year. And I think that that's the right way to do it. I'd rather have the season go a little bit longer and then have more off days so players can rest. You don't want attrition. But the Cardinals are, of course, priming up for hopefully a playoff run. Last episode with Dane Perry, we had audio difficulties, as we have done recently, but this episode is just Heather and me, so I think we should be good.
Mm-hmm.
But I picked the Cardinals to win a wild card berth in the National League. Heather picked the Cardinals to win the World Series.
Of course.
We are rigorous and scientific sabermetricians, if nothing else.
Yes, but I'm biased.
But now the two of us are going to break down the Cardinals more specifically. Last episode we talked about baseball as a whole. This one's specific to the Cardinals. And we are going to do something that we do every once in a while on this podcast. But usually when we do it, it's more of a subjective thing rather than something that can actually be quantified. But we're going to do a draft. And we are going to draft 15 players per team. So Team Heather and Team John. For who will accumulate the most Fangraphs wins above replacement during the 2018 season for the St. Louis Cardinals. So we did a coin flip before the episode. Heather won, so Heather will get the first pick, then I'll pick, and then Heather, and back and forth. It's two people. I don't think a snake draft is really necessary.
So we'll just go back and forth. That's what I was going to ask. So instead of you picking twice in a row, I'll just pick again.
Correct. I will be the second picker in every round, so if I lose this, that's going to be my excuse.
Yeah, that's
fair. I will complain about it all year. But the two of us are just going to draft 15 players, and I think most episodes we end up talking about wins above replacement and maybe don't explain it. I think the reason we don't explain it is because we figure a lot of people listening know it, and if we're just going to explain it every episode, it's going to get really redundant and boring. But since this is like the entirety of the episode, wins above replacement is a statistic that's there's a few different measurements of it. The two big ones are the Fangraphs variety and the Baseball Reference variety. I don't really have a strong preference between the two. Heather leans a little bit more towards Fangraphs, which is fine.
The only reason is because I like the site better, visually.
Just, like, you've basically convinced yourself in the academic value of Fangraphs WAR.
I hate looking at the Baseball References site, yes. And I think it's a fine site. It has a lot of good information on it. It hurts my eyes. There's too much white space. The graphs look weird, or the charts look weird. Tables look weird. I'd rather just...
This feels like the opposite of the This Is Spinal Tap thing. Like, how much white is there? There's so much white. It can be any more white. But the calculation, we don't really have enough time to go into it. Also, we don't know every detail of it. But essentially takes all of the factors a player contributes to a baseball team, batting, fielding, pitching, base running, all of these things to come up with a composite score for a player. And generally speaking, the best way I can say that you can believe in wins above replacement as a valid thing and not just an arbitrary number is that it more or less matches the eye test. Like, hey, Mike Trout, pretty much every year, way up there on the WAR leaderboards. He's really good. Okay. And like last year, Aaron Judge and Jose Altuve were the top two on the WAR leaderboards. Okay, they were really good, so it makes sense. But in this particular case, just a couple ground rules. First of all, the players that were drafting for wins above replacement, they don't necessarily have to be on the Cardinals. They don't have to necessarily be on the 25-man roster right now. They don't even have to be in the Cardinals organization. It's just players that we believe are going to, at the end of 2018, have the most FanGraphs wins above replacement. There's not really a huge difference in terms of FanGraphs and Baseball Reference, especially when you're projecting players in terms of like what their gaps are going to be, but we just need one specific metric to go with. And so we're using FanGraphs because Craig Edwards gave me my job.
Yeah.
And he writes for FanGraphs. So out of duty with him, we'll stick with this. But it's going to be a total amount accumulated. So, for instance, if a pitcher also gets wins above replacement through hitting, that'll mm-hmm. be added to it. Just the total amount that...
Good, because that was part of my considerations.
Okay. I wonder what player you're thinking of when calculating that, but... without further ado, Heather, you have the first pick. So what player are you drafting with the number one overall pick in the 2018 St. Louis Cardinals WAR draft?
I'm going to go with newly acquired St. Louis Cardinal Marcell Ozuna.
Okay. And would you like to explain your pick?
I think he's going to be the best player in the Cardinals.
Also, seems like a good reason to pick him.
I use the Zips projections to kind of sort this list out, and he was the highest on that list.
Well, he was the highest position player.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. And I think that Ozuna is a player that, and I have no reason to disparage your picks because it's going to all come down to how the players play out. It's not like we're having a vote on what to go with. But when it comes to...
Should I keep track of the picks that I made?
I'm marking them down on my sheet.
Okay, got it.
So
got it.
Unless
Sorry.
You go totally off the board, we should be good.
Okay.
But I think that Ozuna, the odds of him not repeating 2017 are pretty good. But I think that he's a safe bet to be, like, at least a two-win player.
Mm-hmm.
Which two WAR, for those who are not as familiar with the metric, is basically like a league average player, which there's value in having. And if that's a player's floor, you know, barring injury, which is always a threat for everybody, then, yeah, I think it's a solid pick. It's a safe pick. It's not who I would have picked, so I'm glad that my pick is on the board. For my first pick, the second overall pick in the Cardinals WAR draft, I'm going to draft Carlos Martinez. Martinez, I mean, there's sort of an inherent risk to drafting a pitcher just because yeah. pitchers get hurt more. But I think that he has, like, let's put it this way. I think that he's maybe not the safest player to get 2 WAR on the team just because of the whole being a pitcher thing. But I think he's probably the safest to get 3 WAR, 4 WAR, 5 WAR. Like, he's a player that has high potential, but assuming he stays healthy, I can't imagine him getting fewer than 3 WAR. So, you know, I'll take whatever slight injury risk there is. And this is a pitcher that doesn't really have a long injury track record. He's had occasional time miss, but he's never had, like, Tommy John. He's never had anything too crazy going on. So
mm-hmm.
I'm happy with this pick.
Okay. Should I pick now?
Well, you have to, yes.
Okay. Just checking before I made my pick.
Okay.
I'm going to pick Matt Carpenter.
Okay.
Mostly because he has been one of the Cardinals' best players for the last, like, 4 years, and I think that he's going to be just as good. And as you can see here, I'm going for kind of the sure thing and taking not very many risks. So that's part of my strategy in this important draft.
I think my strategy is more or less about diversifying. I'll have some risks, some safety.
Mm-hmm.
The one concern I have about Matt Carpenter, and I mean, he was relatively high on my list too. It's not like I didn't have him listed as a potential target, but the one concern I have is, I guess there's two concerns. One, the fact that he's been dealing with a back injury throughout spring training. I'm not that worried about that, but it's not nothing. And also the fact that he's primarily playing first base, which is going to take away some of his value because the way wins above replacement is calculated – if you're, you know, X level hitter at first base versus like the same level hitter at shortstop, there's a huge difference, even if you're basically an average defender at both, because there's, it's so much more scarce to have a great hitter at shortstop than at first base.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be the one concern I would have. But Matt Carpenter is a player that's proven to, like, over the last several years to be a consistently good hitter. So I think that he's a pretty safe bet. I can't imagine a scenario where he's, like, below replacement level or anything like that.
Right.
So, okay. My next pick, I am going to go, I think kind of a similar pick to your Ozuna pick. I'm going to go with Tommy Pham.
Okay.
He's a player who obviously had a huge breakout last year. He was the best player on the Cardinals, one of the best players in baseball by wins above replacement. I don't think he's going to keep up quite that level, but I think he's a player that if he can stay healthy, and, you know, with Pham in particular, there are concerns about that all the time, but he's a player that I think can very easily be like a three-win player. And I think that he's probably the player on the Cardinals that has the highest upside, like the highest peak, just because, mm-hmm. I mean, other than, I guess, Adam Wainwright, no player on the Cardinals in their career has had a better season than Tommy Pham had last year. And so, I mean, there's some risk attached. I'll draft for depth later, but give me the high-end, exciting guys like Pham.
Mm-hmm. I'm going, this is a little bit more of a risk. I'm going to go with Paul DeJong, partially because he's a shortstop, and I think if he plays adequate shortstop, it'll take a lot more. His hitting will have to be pretty poor for him to not be good. Also, the Cardinals don't have a lot of shortstop depth in their system. And so he's pretty much gonna be there to rack up innings and plate appearances. So unless he gets hurt,
yeah, I think that with DeJong, there's sort of this natural tendency to worry about the shortstop because we just went through Aledmys Diaz being a Rookie of the Year candidate and then falling off the next year. But I don't know who the equivalent to 2017 Paul DeJong is in 2018. Like, who's gonna be the guy that takes over that spot?
Could be like Yaramir.
Could be Munoz, I guess. Munoz, but yeah. I don't think there's anybody that's quite, like, I'm not going to predict somebody to be Paul DeJong.
Right. Yeah.
Which I wouldn't have predicted Paul DeJong to be Paul DeJong, to be fair. Yeah, when it comes to Paul DeJong, though, I think that, like, certainly he has the upside based on what he did last year. And if you extrapolate what he did in 4 months out to 6 months, he's terrific. I'm not totally a believer in him, so he was, I think I had him like in my top 10 of candidates, but he was not somebody that was especially high for me. But yeah, this is, I think, similar in the vein of picking a guy like Tommy Pham. Like, maybe he's having a career year, but even if he settles back down a little bit,
right,
it should still be fine. All right. My next pick is probably a little bit of a reach, but I'm going to go with it anyway. I'm going to draft Luke Weaver. I think that when it comes to Luke Weaver, there's a little bit of a tendency to, you know, get caught up in the trap of he's a young pitcher, there's no such thing as a pitching prospect, that whole canard. But if Weaver can stay healthy, and he's stayed healthy basically throughout his career, then I don't think he's going to be anything worse than league average. He may not quite be able to rise to, like, the peaks of some of the other pitching prospects on the Cardinals. He may not have the upside of Carlos Martinez, but I think he's somebody that, you know, despite the fact that he's young, can be a solid pitcher. And I think that, you know, because he's so young and he's, you know, easily the youngest player that I've drafted so far, and I think probably the youngest player either of us has drafted so far, yeah, mm-hmm. looking at the list. But I think because of that, you have a player that is, like, you can always dream on that. I think he has a decently high floor, but I think his ceiling is also there, too. And I think there was so much attention given to guys like Alex Reyes and Jack Flaherty, guys who we may, you know, be bringing up later,
mm-hmm.
that we tend to sort of forget about Luke Weaver. We thought of him as the safe pick because he was a college pitcher, because he, you know, was drafted sort of in the mold of, like, other pitchers who were sort of considered to be low-ceiling guys. I don't think Weaver's a low-ceiling guy, like, maybe compared to Reyes, but I think his ceiling is still pretty high.
We know for sure Weaver definitely has a spot in the rotation.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I know when they
signed, I mean, I guess technically we don't know anybody has a spot in the rotation,
yeah.
But
like, the starting five, just for, like, clarity, would look right now to be Martinez, Waka, Weaver, Mikolas, and Wainwright.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. In some order or another. But
yeah.
And just to clarify for anyone who's listening, we're not drafting, like, functional teams here.
Yeah.
We're not, like, I drafted two pitchers so far. Heather's drafted zero. It's not like, like, she can draft all position players if she wants to. I can draft all pitchers except for Tommy Pham if I want to. But it's just total accumulation of WAR. Though, obviously, since we're projecting how things are going to function, if we're drafting, like, five shortstops apiece, well, probably only one or two of the shortstops are really going to get any considerable playing time. Yeah. So, I mean, that factors in, but it's not like we're drafting, like, oh, I need a shortstop, oh, I need a second baseman. This isn't like a fantasy team in that regard.
So, with that being said, my next pick is going to be Michael Wacha. It's a bit of a risk because of his injury history, but when he's healthy, he's right behind Carlos Martinez as one of the more valuable player pitchers on the team. So, that's why I'm going to go with him.
Yeah, Wacha's a case of a player that... And I mentioned this whenever I wrote the projection post about him. He's sort of become weirdly underrated because there was such an unbelievable amount of hype around him in 2013 when he came up, you know, one season out of college. He was in the College World Series in 2012, and then he was in the World Series in 2013 after winning NLCS and MVP, nearly pitching a no-hitter in September and then in the NLDS. And then he wasn't quite that guy going forward. I think I was actually thinking about this over the weekend, because I was thinking about Madison Bumgarner and the fact mm-hmm. that there was such a huge amount of hype around Madison Bumgarner in 2014 after he was World Series MVP. He was SI Sportsman of the Year for some reason. But, and there was like sort of this like insane idea of, oh, who would you rather have, Bumgarner or Kershaw? I was like, well, I'd rather have Kershaw because he's like materially better.
Mm-hmm.
But because there's so much of a backlash against the overhype, all of a sudden you kind of forget, hey, Bumgarner is actually a pretty good pitcher. And Michael Wacha is not quite Bumgarner, but he's sort of like that in a sense that we're kind of forgetting the fact that we have a like an above average pitcher who's, you know, still under team cost control, and that's a pretty valuable thing to have. All right, so I've picked a couple exciting players or a few exciting players so far, and now I'm going to draft Yadier Molina just because he's a player who. First of all, the backup catcher apparently is not going to be Carson Kelly, which was a thing that we had thought going into the season. It's going to be Francisco Pena to start off, which to me, the main thing that says is that, I mean, you can say whatever it says about Carson Kelly, but I think what it really says is we don't plan on giving Yadier Molina any days off.
Mm-hmm.
And while I think that's going to overall hurt the team because I'd rather Molina play fewer games and be more productive per game, from a pure WAR accumulation standpoint, I just can't see a way that he gets, like, I can't see a way that he gets above, like, four, which is, like, it's good, but it's not, like, best player on the team good. But I also can't see a way, unless he, you know, suffers a major injury, that he goes below two.
Knock on wood.
Like, even in his sort of, like, downish seasons, and the last few seasons have not been nearly as good as he was at his peak, he's still, like, one of the more valuable players on the team because, first of all, he's a catcher, so if you're, like, a league average hitter at catcher, that's extremely valuable because... Like, this isn't first base where you have to have an offensive premium. So if you have it, it's a bonus. And even though his defensive numbers aren't quite as great as they were a few years ago, he's still solidly above average in that regard. So, I like that pick.
Okay. I'm going to go with Dexter Fowler. I think that he didn't have a great season coming off of his, you know, contract and everything, but it wasn't bad. He was still, you know, top five position player.
And on a per capita basis, he was very good. He missed some time with injury, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I went with him.
Yeah, and it's sort of, it's hard to evaluate what's going to happen with his defensive metrics because he's moving from center field to right field.
Mm-hmm.
On one hand, right field gets a lot less of a bump in terms of like playing a premium position. It's not as vital on the defensive spectrum as center field. But on the other hand, Dexter Fowler was terrible last year defensively in center field. So maybe having less of an obligation means that he could be like a league average defensive right fielder as opposed to a solidly below average center fielder. And I mean, that's always sort of a variable with these metrics because defensive ones really take more than a year to really gauge how good a player is. And you know, who knows whether Fowler, like, I don't think Fowler's quite as bad as he was last year, but I also think that maybe his average center field years in Chicago were a little bit of an aberration. I think he's probably like a little bit below average in center field, probably fine in right field. But yeah, if his bat continues what he was doing last year, hitting home runs at an unprecedented rate for him, I think it's a potential to be a really good pick for you. So my next pick, I am going to go with Jed Jerko. I mean, at this point, we're going a little bit less exciting, I guess, because it's...
The Cardinals.
You know, it's, But, like, we're getting in the sort of slightly middle round here. So you get a guy like Jed Jerka, who I think is basically assured of a starting spot. And, you know, because of the Matt Carpenter injury, which I think is going to probably keep him at first base a lot more than we expected before the season, Jed Jerka at third base is going to be even more of a thing. He's a player who the last couple of years has been a solid player. He's kind of been up and down throughout seasons, but he's been above average. He's been a good hitter. He's, you know, showed a lot of promise defensively at third base. I think that's more or less for real. And it's like, he's not as safe of a pick because he's had down years in his career, but the last couple of years with the Cardinals, he's, you know, generally looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm. I had him about right where he was picked, so he would have been my next person. So now I'm going to go with Colton Wong.
That would have been my pick as well.
I kind of this similar, this is like the middle round, so you kind of go with the...
Well, he was the last projected starting position player.
Yeah.
Who was on the board, so it's...
Yeah, and like, yes, yeah, he's going to be a starter. He's a good defensive second baseman, decent hitter. You know, I think he'll be fine for Team Heather.
All right. Yeah, I mean, you can't argue against it. He had a good year last year. It was his best offensive season, largely because he stopped trying to hit for power and started drawing more walks. His defensive numbers were a bit down. I don't think they reflect who he actually is. I think he'll probably improve a little bit defensively, go down a little bit offensively, probably be about average at both. You know, solid player. It's nothing to argue against. All right, so for my next pick, I am going to go with Adam Wainwright. I think that, I mean, there's two starting pitchers who are on the board right now, guys who are projected starters. And between the two, I think Wainwright has the higher upside, just because, you know, obviously we've seen what he is in the major leagues. And because of, first of all, his offensive prowess, as we sort of hinted before, is helpful. So even if he's like kind of a below average pitcher, he's going to get a little bit of a bump because he's a really, really good hitter for a pitcher. But also, like, I could see a situation where, like, he has a little bit of a comeback. And there's so many people have been writing him off during this offseason. His ERA last year wasn't very good, but his, like, his fielding independent pitching was, you know, pretty good. And since we're going by Fangraphs WAR, they tend to lean more towards FIP than they do towards ERA. I think that his FIP might even go up a little bit from what it was last year, but I think his ERA is definitely going to go down. You know, take that as you will. But, yeah, I'm hopeful. I actually was thinking about this. This sounds so sacrilegious, but hear me out here. What if Wainwright's good and the Cardinals are bad? Like, he's not under contract next year. Would they trade him? Like, is that a thing that could happen?
Does he have a no-trade clause? Well, I would assume he does.
Well, he does by definition because the 10-5 rule. If you've been in the major leagues 10 years and you've been with your team 5 years, you automatically have one. But if the Cardinals are, like, disastrously bad, but he's doing really well, and, you know, say a good team is vying for something, say somebody goes down for, like, Washington, just to throw a team out that's probably going to go to the playoffs at random, it seems so crazy, and it seems like that's just sacrilegious to imagine Wainwright being traded somewhere, but, like, Justin Verlander was traded last year, and he was every bit the institution in Detroit that Wainwright is in St. Louis. Again, I don't think this is going to happen, but... I'm just sort of, that was actually a weird thing that gave me a little bit of pause with drafting him, was like, what if he got traded? Because I feel like he's probably the veteran who you'd probably think would have the best chance of getting traded, just like in terms of like selling, because he's like the one that's not under contract next year. Mm-hmm. But I stand by it.
So my next pick I go back and forth on, because on one hand, there's this kind of incredible potential. And on the other hand, I basically know what I'm going to get. So I think I've been pretty judicious in my choices so far. Very risk adverse.
Adverse.
And I'm going to go with Alex Reyes next. Because I think, first of all, someone's going to get hurt. Or at least for a little bit. And he's going
to... I mean, if somebody is Alex Reyes for right now.
Yeah. But, I mean, someone is going to probably... He's going to probably be needed to spot start or something. Or someone's going to be ineffective. Or you just... Teams rarely go with their starting five through the whole season.
Correct.
And he'll be ready by May, and I get the feeling that he's probably going to get some starts. So that's part of the reason. And even if he doesn't, if he ends up in the bullpen, which he might, I think he'll be a pretty on a rate basis, he'll be a pretty effective player. So that's kind of why I went with him, as opposed to he might not get a lot of innings, but I think those innings will be good quality. So
yeah, I feel like Reyes is going to be in the big leagues one way or another. And obviously, if he's a starter, then you get a lot more innings than if he's a reliever. But you get something there, and he's an exciting player. He'll be a fun one to root for. You know, the one big drawback is that he's not going to be with the big league club until at least May.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really only 1 month, so if he's a good enough player, then it's the pick's worth it. Next up is a player that I'm hesitating to draft because it means I have to pronounce his name.
Yeah.
But Michaelis, I believe, is that. That's what Michaelis? I keep hearing is now is Michaelis.
Okay.
The guy who, the lizard guy, you know.
The lizard king?
All hail the lizard king, yeah. Yes. But
that was the person I thought about picking instead of Reyes. So yeah. I went back and forth.
And it's weird because, like, you spoke of Miles as being a safer pick, but he's also a player that we haven't seen in Major League Baseball for three
right.
seasons, and he wasn't very good when he was here the last time. I think that there's a lot of tendency among Cardinals fans who are just totally freaking out about him already. We've been running the Viva Alberto's community projections, and most of the projections are by VEB readers are a little bit optimistic on Cardinals players, which makes sense. It's Cardinals fans who are filling out the surveys, more or less. Miles, they were not optimistic on. Projections were way below what he's being projected by Zips or Steamer, and I think he's probably just going to be fine, and I think that, like, while he's not making a crazy amount of money, he's getting paid $7.75 million a year. This is not an amount that the Cardinals are just going to easily cut bait with him. They're going to, you know, give him a shot. And, you know, even if they decide they want to go with somebody like an Alex Reyes in the rotation at some point, rather than him, he would still have a bullpen role and he would still probably be pretty good. He's a hard thrower. He would make sense out of the bullpen. But
mm-hmm.
I think he's going to get every opportunity in the starting rotation. And I think that he has very much the potential to outperform my last pick, Adam Wainwright, but we'll see. I figured you had a better chance of drafting Adam Wainwright than Miles Michaelis, so I was a little bit strategic with my pick there,
mm-hmm.
and it worked out. So
yeah.
You're up next.
I think my next pick, I'm going to go with Jose Martinez.
I hate you.
I had him higher on my board, but I kind of waited because I wanted to get some of my other picks in first when I saw how we were drafting, and because I think they're going to try. The bat looks really good in spring.
I am so sad right now that you got him. You have no idea how salty I am about this.
The bat looks really good, and I have a feeling they're going to try to work him in, and there's a bats for him to get, whether it's in a corner outfield spot or at first base. So that's kind of why I think he'll get enough playing time, and he'll be good enough to accumulate value for me.
Sure. The phrase I used recently on VEB to describe Jose Martinez was, he's the most important person in my life right now. I just am so excited at the prospect of Jose Martinez being what the advanced stats say he's going to be. I've mentioned this on many episodes. I've mentioned this in even more articles, but, you know, by expected weighted on base average, which is a little bit of a wonky stat, I'll admit, but I think even if it's not a perfect stat, there's a lot of logic to it. Basically, like, there's Aaron Judge, Joey Votto, Mike Trout, J.D. Martinez, and one other player who I'm forgetting. Maybe Nelson Cruz. There's one other player who did better than Jose Martinez last year in terms of guys that had, like, 300-plus plate appearances. Like, he crushed the ball last year, and he was very good last year. The only question with Jose Martinez, well, I guess the question would be if he's able to keep up what he did last year, but
mm-hmm.
like, will he get the plate appearances? And if he's as good as he was last year, he's going to get maybe not a starter's worth of plate appearances, but a lot of them.
Yeah.
And I am just, I'm rooting for your team now in this draft just because I love Jose Martinez so much and I want him to succeed. And also I like the idea that the big breakthrough players last year were Tommy Pham and Jose Martinez, two guys who are both older than me.
Yeah. And they were both competing for the same spot,
yeah,
because the Cardinals had to keep 13 pitchers on the roster.
I don't have that much time left in my life to have, like, upstart athletes be older than me, so I need to take advantage of this whenever I can. in 2011, I think it was, I was rooting so hard for Brandon Whedon to win the Heisman Trophy because he was 28 years old. And I was like, okay, he's got me beat here. And now I'm just hoping, like, some guy at BYU or something is, like, 30. And but I feel old now. Okay, I'm going to move on. And since I wasn't able to draft Jose Martinez, who is sort of my pet player on the bench, I'm going to draft my other pet player on the bench, which is Greg Garcia. There's a lot of people that don't like Greg Garcia, but I cannot stress this enough. Greg Garcia has 650-something plate appearances in career. He's an above-average hitter for his career. He has, like, a 370 on-base percentage for his career, and people don't like him. They think that he's just useless. Like, drawing walks is a skill, people, I'm telling you. And, like, he doesn't have a lot of power, so he's never going to be an amazing player, but he's a really valuable, good player. I think that the Cardinals view him more highly than a lot of fans do. So if something were to happen to Jed Jerko or Colton Wong or maybe even Paul DeJong, I think he's the guy who would fill in a lot. And the fact that he can play these different positions makes me feel a lot more at ease with the Cardinals only having four guys off of their bench. Because when you have guys like Jose Martinez and you have guys like Greg Garcia who can play several positions and can be really effective at those positions, that makes your team all that much better. And so, since I can't root for Jose Martinez, I can at least root for Greg Garcia, and I'm at least relieved I can do that.
So, with my next pick, it's basically getting to the point where we're getting to relievers and bench players and minor leaguers, because we've gotten all the starters, basically.
Yes.
So, I'm going to go with a potential bench player in Munoz.
It's Munoz is definitely the pronunciation. I've heard Jairo, but I think it would be Jairo by like Jairo? The way that Spanish would be pronounced. But
I just have like a little Y and a scribble because I was like just writing it down. So I don't have it spelled out. I couldn't help you there.
Yeah, this is one of those things. I promise I'm trying to work on learning how to pronounce players' names. But it's so inconsistently reported that it's sort of hard to know for sure. Like. We had this problem with Magnara Sierra, who I may or may not be pronouncing right, last year, where you would see 5 million different things, and you would occasionally see phonetic spellings, which I don't know how to read at all. So,
but yeah, I went with him because I think he will get playing time. Might be hedging my bets a little bit here, too, with Paul DeJong, just in case things don't work out with him. He's an infielder. Munoz. So that's kind of trying to cover everything there. And he's been hitting really well this spring, too. So I don't know. It's basically between him and Harrison Bader, I think, is the last kind of spot on the team.
That was a post that I wrote earlier today on VEB, which I did not side with your guy for getting the spot.
Really? Yeah. So I went with him because I think that eventually he will be up and I think it'll be valuable.
Mm. Yeah, Munoz is kind of the opposite player. I mentioned this in the post as well of Greg Garcia. Greg Garcia is kind of, and part of it's that Greg Garcia is just kind of boring. Like, he's just been around a long time. We know what he is. We know that his ceiling is sort of limited.
Mm-hmm.
And with Munoz, I think it's helped that we've never actually seen them play. So we just have spring training results, which have been good.
Yeah.
I don't totally buy that he's ready. I think I would certainly start him in AAA to start the season and see if he can develop, which maybe he can, but yeah, I personally think this pick's a little bit of a reach, but you know, we'll see. We'll let War do the talking. So for my next pick, I'm going to draft Jack Flaherty. Flaherty's a player that we know based off of the last round of spring training cuts is not going to start the season on the major league roster. So there's, you know, some risk there, but I think he's the next guy up currently in terms of starting rotation, at least until Alex Reyes comes back. And I think he's a player that has the potential to be, you know, pretty good. He wasn't particularly good last year whenever he came up to the major leagues, but he's an acclaimed prospect. He has terrific stuff, as the scouts say. And I think he's also a player who could possibly have like a bullpen role if that's where he's needed, just because he throws the ball hard and he'd end up being like a Lance Lynn type where he starts out his Cardinals career mostly in the bullpen and then eventually starts, you know, pitching more in the rotation. But, yeah.
With my next pick, I'm going to go with Tyler Lyons.
He was next name on my board as well.
I think that he could possibly get some starts.
I totally disagree with that.
You don't think they'll ever start him?
I think it's very unlikely.
But
again, I would have gone with the pick two. So
either way, he'll be a valuable bullpen, have a valuable bullpen role. He might even get some time closing. And he's just one of those pitchers. He strikes out a lot of guys. And so... Yeah.
Particularly since he got to the bullpen. Like, this was not a thing that he was known for whenever he was starting.
He strikes out a lot of people. And so that his fielding independent pitching is always pretty low, which makes his wins above replacement.
Yeah.
Because the way FanGraphs calculates it.
Sort of gaming the FanGraph system.
his FIP is always pretty, not low, but...
good relative to his ERA.
Yes, and so that always makes his wins above... He accumulates wins above replacement pretty well, so I think that's all I have to say about that.
And a low FIP is usually a pretty good predictor of a low ERA, in future seasons, so it makes sense there, and I think he's going to have a big role in the bullpen. As far as WAR is concerned, it doesn't really matter if he's a closer as long as he's getting innings, because... Not saves factor into a player's wins above replacement.
Right.
I mean, generally speaking, there's a good correlation between a lot of saves, because if you get a lot of saves, it means you're being put into a lot of games. So therefore, you're probably pretty good. But it's not like saves cause your WAR to be high. But I'm going to draft another reliever with my next pick. It's another reliever that's not expected to be a closer. It's another lefty. It is our old friend Brett Cecil. Cecil was a frequently maligned player last year, and when you look at his stats, he had one really bad outing early on in his Cardinals tenure where he didn't retire a single batter and he gave up 5 earned runs. And if you remove that one lousy outing, which, granted, why would you, cherry pick that? But if you remove that one outing, his stats last year didn't look too bad. Like, even with that outing, it was not nearly as bad as his reputation was. I think he's a player that's going to, I don't even want to say bounce back because it implies that he's at some sort of low point. But I think he's a player who is just going to be a solid member of the rotation. He's under a major league contract. Unless he's a complete disaster, there's no chance of him being designated for assignment. There's no, because somebody would likely possibly pick him up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, well, he can decline an assignment to the minors anyway. I don't know what I'm talking about. But I think that he's a somewhat safe bet to be a one-win player. Like, at this point, we're not looking at guys who are probably going to be superstars if you're drafting a reliever, because unless you're drafting an elite, elite reliever, which I don't think the Cardinals have. I think, Alex Reyes might be the only player with the potential to be an elite reliever if he's allowed in that role. But, these are guys that are going to get enough innings that they're going to meaningfully contribute to our sum totals for the season.
So with my next pick, I'm going to go with Harrison Bader. He's pretty much, I think, it's not exactly for sure, but he's probably going to be the fourth outfielder for the Cardinals.
It'll be him or Munoz probably who's getting the last bench spot.
Yeah, but I think it's pretty, it's not set in stone, but I think most people are leaning towards Bader for that spot.
Well, Bader's played in the majors, so he's the safer pick.
And so he's, your typical kind of fourth outfielder. He's can play every position. He's good on defense. Can hit all right. He's
he didn't hit very well in the majors last year, but he hit well in the minors, and there's a larger sample size, so I'm more likely to go with that. I don't know that he's going to be a prototypical fourth outfielder in the sense that I think that if Marcell Ozuna or Dexter Fowler misses a game from a corner spot, I think Jose Martinez takes that spot.
Right.
But Bader certainly would get a lot of time as a defensive replacement because Martinez isn't a very good fielder.
Right, that too. But, I think he'll get some time and he'll be all right. I mean, this is near the end of the draft, so
at this point,
I think he'll get time.
At this point, it's the 21st overall pick. I'm not going to knock a player that I'm pretty sure is going to get major league playing time.
Right, it's basically relievers and maybe people you think are going to play.
All right, speaking of relievers, I'm going to draft the Cardinals' new closer, Luke Gregerson. Gregerson had a down year last year. He had 0 WAR, which is obviously not particularly favorable. At this point, I might as well just start drafting forfeiting picks. He's going to do that again. But if you look at sort of the peripherals beyond the peripherals, though, he had a crazy home run to fly ball rate that I just don't think is going to keep up. if you look at his xFIP, which normalizes that rate to a league average home run fly ball rate, he was above average pitcher, or at least average-ish. A little bit of a down year, but throughout his career, he's been a pretty good reliever. I don't know that he's necessarily going to stay in the closer role, but I think he's a solid bet to be like half a win player, which, you know, since I'm drafting guys early on, like Tommy Pham, who I don't know quite how, you know, safe of a pick they are. I think that a guy like Gregerson's just sort of floor for my, my structure of a team.
So I'm going to go, well, first of all, as far as I can tell, Matt Bowman is still, he's not hurt or anything, right?
No.
I feel like I haven't heard anything about him, so it made me paranoid that there was something wrong with him. But I'm going to go with Matt Bowman. He is, it's kind of dangerous because he pitched a lot last year.
Yeah.
And so I'm concerned about injury. But he also pitched a lot. Matheny pitches him.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go that route. That's all I got.
Yeah, I think Bowman, there's some threat of him being like a Sungwan Oh case where pitching so much the year before ends up wearing on him the next year. But he's also a player that's been a starter in the past. So it's not like he hasn't pitched, you know, a decently high number of innings in a season before. So, yeah, we're going to just keep drafting relievers, I guess. this is the exciting part of the draft. Actually, this is the exciting part of the draft for me because I've staked claim to the Mike Myers train, so I have to stand by him here. Mike Myers, the formerly bad starter for the St. Louis Cardinals, is a lights out pitcher as a reliever in spring training. He's striking out a ton of guys. His velocity is way up. It's really exciting. I don't think he's going to start the season in the majors. It's not impossible, but I don't think he's going to start the season in the majors. But I think he's probably going to end up being the next guy up to the majors, and I'm buying it. There are so many cases, and I wrote about this the other day on VEB because I write like 5,000 articles a week now. But the article that I wrote was just like looking at some of these guys. Like, look at like what Wade Davis was as a starter. Look at what Andrew Miller was as a starter. These were not good starters. They come to the bullpen, they're fantastic. Like, there is a track record of this. This is the way, realistically, you should build your bullpen. If you're going to, you know, spend money on guys like Brett Cecil or Luke Gregerson, they're not that expensive, so I'm not going to lose sleep over it. But at the same time, you want to get a guy like Mike Myers, who isn't pitching as well as you might like as a starter. You get him in the bullpen, and he's awesome. I stand by this pick. I love it. This is helping to make up for the Jose Martinez loss.
Okay. I'm kind of going to go off track here and go with Tyler O'Neill.
That's actually the next name on my board.
Okay. He's projected to be pretty good, and that's basically all I got. I think he'll be up eventually when they kind of do their someone will get hurt or someone will be bad and they'll bring him up.
And Tyler O'Neill is an outfielder that he was sort of the prototypical guy who, if he has a huge spring, could end up sneaking into the big league club, but he got hurt. So not good timing on that, but I think he is a pitcher who, or not pitcher, what am I talking about? He's a player who has the potential to be a star. It's just a matter of what opportunity he gets. I think that the risk of him not playing very much, if at all, in the majors is high enough that this is why he's getting drafted kind of low here. But like, I think he has more star potential, certainly, than Harrison Bader. I think he's a player that has, you know, maybe some of the highest upside in the farm system. And, you know, Aaron Schaefer, a couple episodes ago when we talked about prospects, referenced this himself. But yeah, it's an exciting pick, so I will salute you for that.
Yay.
All right. That's sort of a condescending yay, it seems like. But
I am not condescending ever.
All right. So my next pick, I am going to go with Carson Kelly. It was established yesterday that Carson Kelly is going to start the season in AAA Memphis, which I think is fine as a move. I think that the Cardinals probably weren't going to give him very many starts. And he's still 23 years old, as crazy as that seems. It seems like he's been around for a decade, but I think that if something happened to Yadier Molina, which would be the only way that he would ever get considerable starts anyway, he's going to get called up and he's going to get the preponderance of the starts over Francisco Pena. I think Pena is only there just because they're not worried about his development because he's 30 years old.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that Kelly's a player who, if he were given a full season of starts, could be a pretty good player. Like, not Molina level, but fine throughout the course of a season. So And this is sort of like I drafted Molina earlier. This is kind of insurance for that pick, I think.
Good call. Let's see. I think I'm gonna go with.
We've each drafted 13 players so far, so
we only have two left.
Yes.
Okay. Wow. Let's go with John Gant.
Okay.
Just because he's a reliever, and I think he'll get the pitch. Is he?
Well, he's a reliever. He's also a potential starter, though. Like,
and is he in the bullpen right now? Like, are they going to put him in the bullpen, or is he probably going to start in AAA?
Well, he's probably going to start in AAA.
Okay.
And you know, we'll see what kind of role he has there. But I think he's there's a few guys who are in AAA that just make sense to have in this draft because they're going to be the next guys up. And he's not as exciting of a prospect as like a Jack Flaherty, but he's a player who, you know, can come up and be representative. And the threshold for replacement level, for those who are not as familiar with the stat, is not league average player. There seems to be some misconception among some people that if you're an average player, you're a replacement level player. A replacement level theoretically means that the kind of player that you would bring up from AAA, that would just kind of be like an average AAA player, which maybe that's what John Gant is. I think he's probably a little better than that, though, so it's fine. All right, so I've been picking a bunch of boring relievers for the most part, the Carson Kelly pick aside. So I am going to go with Chris Archer.
Oh, I'm doing it. I got you.
Chris Archer is a very talented player. He's a player that certainly would be drafted very high in this draft, maybe even number one overall, if not for the very minor fact that he plays for the Tampa Bay Rays. He played for the Tampa Bay Rays, however, which are a team that's been trading away a lot of its best players during the offseason. They traded away Steven Souza. They traded away Evan Longoria. They don't appear particularly intent on contending this season. And I think that the odds that that they end up trading away Archer and also Kevin Kiermaier and Alex Colomay are, you know, reasonably high. I don't think that the Cardinals are in the market for Kevin Kiermaier. He's a great player. I'm sure they'd love to have him, but I think they have enough outfielders that they're not going to trade up a lot of value to get him. I think that Colomay would be a potential target, but because he's a reliever, he doesn't have the upside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the Cardinals got, first of all, Chris Archer, since he's under contract for quite a while longer, and granted, they have to give up a lot of the guys we've drafted so far just to get him, but if they got him, he wouldn't even necessarily be a deadline guy. They could totally get him in, like, June. And then I get half a season of Chris Archer rather than just some stupid reliever. So
yeah,
this is a pick that will probably be zero.
Yeah, I didn't go with any non-Cardinals just because I feel like they are probably not going to make any trades in the season. And if they do, it's going to be like a reliever to shore up the bullpen. And
it's improbable, really, but I feel like this is just a good way to lock down.
Yeah, use your end of the draft picks.
Yeah, I mean, this is the equivalent of whenever a baseball team is drafting and they get some guy in a late round who's like insistent that he's going to college.
Mm-hmm.
And
I kind of have a similar pick with my very last pick.
Okay, fire away.
I'm going to go with Jordan Hicks. I really hope that he doesn't get any time in the Cardinals this year because I get the feeling that that would mean that a lot of really bad things have happened to the rotation and it's like just crumbling and like there's sulfur and ash falling from the sky, like, because he's not ready for the major leagues yet. They want him to get more development, and I think he's in AA right now, but man, have I heard some really cool things about him. The Cardinals are apparently really high on him. He was apparently one of the, like, absolutely not going to trade. When they were talking about trades, he was basically kind of like off limits. It was Jordan Hicks. So that's what I'm going to go with my last pick, just to shore up maybe. In case, worst case scenario, he does end up coming up, I'm prepared.
As tempted as I am to use my last pick on Josh Donaldson, who is on my list, but I'm going to not. I already drafted Chris Archer. But there are four actually probable major league relievers who are still on the board.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go ahead and draft one of them. I'll draft Sam Tuivalala.
He's on my list, too.
It's him, Dominic Leone, Bud Norris, John Brebbia. I think Brebbia is a candidate to regress because his FIP was much, much higher than his ERA last year. And Leon, I don't think, is going to be able to keep up what he was last year. I think he'll be okay, but I think Tuivalu is probably the player on here that has the most upside. I mean, you could argue Norris for that as well, but I think that because Norris is older, there's also the chance of something going wrong. Tuivalu is a player who's out of options, so he's probably going to, unless they plan on cutting him, he's going to stay with the Cardinals throughout the season. And he's always had impressive stuff, and if he can get it together, then this is a player who, you know, for being the last overall pick, has the potential to be like a, you know, 1-1.5 win reliever. It wouldn't be that far of a reach to expect that. But that is my pick, and we have concluded this 2018 St. Louis Cardinals WAR draft. Heather, do you want to recap your roster?
Sure. So I have Marcell Ozuna, Matt Carpenter, Paul DeJong, Michael Wacha, Dexter Fowler, Colton Wong, Alex Reyes, Tyler Lyons, Jose Martinez, Tyler O'Neill, Harrison Bader, John Gant, Yarayo.
You drafted him. You have to pronounce it.
Munoz.
There's an N-Y above the N.
Oh, right. I was pointed out to that oh so pointedly in one of my posts. Which, by the way, I try to use all the, like,
the correct, like, the accents and
when I type the stuff. But when you do that, it does not get picked up by, like, the search stuff.
Yeah.
So when people are searching the name, they won't be able to find my article.
Which I'm sure is a very exciting reason here.
It's for the brand,
everybody.
Yes, it's so people can find my stuff when, you know, and I got to get those clicks to feed this dog over here. He's almost 100 pounds. Anyway.
Almost.
Yeah, he might. I think he's lost some weight, so I think he's probably 95.
Okay.
But, and I think rounding out Team Simon here is Jordan Hicks.
My roster is Carlos Martinez, Tommy Pham, Luke Weaver, Yadier Molina, Jed Jerko, Adam Wainwright, Miles Michaelis, Greg Garcia, Jack Flaherty, Brett Cecil, Luke Gregerson, Mike Myers, Carson Kelly, Chris Archer, and Sam Tuivalu. Did you have any other players that you wanted to just throw out there as reasonable candidates that you just didn't get a chance to pick?
I wasn't really going to pick this person because I didn't know his name. So I just put Yadier Molina's backup.
Francisco Pena.
Yeah. When you said it later, I wrote it in.
Yeah. I don't think he is. I don't think there's even a chance of him doing anything.
Yeah.
Like he could be like, you know, 0.2 WAR or something, but I don't think he really has any chance of upside.
I just thought that was funny because I just literally wrote, yeah, I was going to say if his name had not come up, I would have literally said, Yadier Molina's
back. Oh, I would have been happy with you taking him. I would have gladly given you that information.
I didn't plan on taking him, but I had 30 of these because I guess, I don't know. I guess because we picked some that weren't on the, you picked some that weren't on the
on board. Your list. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I didn't need all of them, but I was prepared.
Yeah.
Because you yelled at me to make a list of 30. So I did.
I did not yell at you.
You typed aggressively at me.
Aggressively is in the eye of the beholder. I did type it at you. I'm not going to deny that.
Yeah.
But so I had the, in addition to the three extra relievers that I mentioned that are in the Cardinals bullpen to start the season, and Josh Donaldson, who I also had written down. Also, you could have made a case for Austin Gomber. I think he's in the same mold as John Gant, where they're just kind of a guy in AAA who could come up and get a start and probably be okay. And Luke Voit. The guy who was in the majors last year. He's probably going to start the season in AAA. There was some talk that he was like an outside chance of making the roster. I don't see it happening. He was experimenting in left field, which when you get a committed first baseman to try out left field for the first time in spring training, things always go well for the Cardinals. Never, ever backfire.
Never in the history of the game.
Yeah. We should have gone a little longer. We should have had like 40 picks each. I'm drafting Mike Trout in like the 38th round.
Yeah.
You never know. You never know.
It's true.
All right. So I think we're ready to wrap things up here. Kane looks very lonely and sad that we're not giving him enough attention as we record. Heather, do you have anything you want to say? Anything you want to record? It looks like you're filming.
Yeah, something. It's for the Snapchat. Oh. Newbie Velvero Snapchat.
Hi.
You can follow me on Twitter, LIL_scooter93. You can read my writing at Viva Alberto's Monday through Friday at 12 noon. Although I'm on vacation Thursday and Friday, so I won't, it won't be me. It might be someone else. It might be nothing. Who knows?
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
The Wild West continues. Yes. Viva Alberta. Viva El Anarchy. All right. So you can follow me on Twitter at JohnJF125. You can find my writing on Viva Alberto's pretty much every day at this point. I will have a post going up tomorrow, Tuesday morning. I will have another post going up in the afternoon. I have, I think, a post. Yeah, I have a post scheduled for Wednesday, at least one on Thursday. Yeah, just check out Viva Alberto's. I might be there. Somebody else will probably be there if I'm not. And you can check out Viva Alberto's on Twitter at Viva Alberto's, Facebook.com/Viva Alberto's. You can check out the podcast on iTunes, on Stitcher, etc. And yeah, that's pretty much all I got. We should probably just have one more episode before the season starts. We have a special guest lined up that I was able to confirm is still going to be with us next week. So hopefully he or she does not flake out and we will actually get said guest. We have no reason to believe we won't. I just feel like throwing somebody you don't even know about under the bus. All right. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.